Parshas Tazria, I'd like to revisit an idiom we discussed last year. Try to make something new. I see the first Maramachim is already wrong. It should say Parshas Tazria, not Parshas Shmini.
It is new.
You probably prepared it long.
Oh, I did prepare it last night. Parshas Tazria. This is before the clock changed. Damar al bnei Yisrael lema. Isha ki Tazria v'yol da zocha v'toma shivas yomim. Ki mei nidas d'voisotitma. A woman gives birth. She is tomei for 7 days. Following which, v'yom hashmini Yimoil Basar or Losai, this is Bris Mila Damanik.
If we'll try to air a condition here.
Everybody here, okay.
So that's the Torah is telling us that a woman gives birth, she's tomei for 8 days, for 7 days. Following which, she has a chiyuv to do bris milah on the 8th day. Now, it's worthwhile pointing out, Chazon Ish said it's a mitzvah lefarsim. One has to publicize a halacha which is not so well known, but it's mamash mefurash or gemara, it's mefurash or sifin shulchan aruch. And that is, the Torah says that the order of events is that the woman is tomei for 7 days, and then you perform a bris milah on the 8th day. So the Gemara learns from here in Shabbos that the whole halacha that the bris milah is performed on the 8th day is only true when the mother is tomei for 7 days. That's the order of the psukim. First is a 7 day tumah and then milah on the 8th day. But if for whatever reason the mother was not tomei for 7 days, then there's no halacha of milah b'yom shmini. What's the example? So the Gemara gives two examples. Either a woman, a non-Jew, who gave birth, and then the day after, for example, she became a geiris. So when she gave birth, there's no din of tumas leida, because there's no din tumah on a goy. In which case, this child has no halacha of mila b'yoyim shmini. Now that he's become a geir, if you're a geir, the child.
Sure,
100%. 100%. If you're a geir, the child, so he will need bris mila. But on the 8th day, that's halacha that doesn't pertain to him, because the child has to be mulled on the 8th day following 7 days of tumah for his mother. The other very famous example is, of course, and this is mamash meisim b'chol yom, and this is what the Chazon Ish said you should publicize, is when the birth is a yetze doifen, when the birth is a C-section, in which case there is no din tumas leida on the mother. If there's no din tumas leida on the mother, then there's no halacha of mila b'yom shmini. Says the Chazon Ish, this is what people must know. If a moel gets phoned up and says, I need to make a bris this Shabbos, meaning that the child was born last Shabbos and this Shabbos is the 8th day, the Chazon Ish said, you have to publicize this. The moel must know the number one question that he has to ask is, was it a natural birth or was it a C-section? Because if it was a natural birth and the mother was tomei leida, then there's a mitzvah to do mila on Yom Shmini. And as we're going to discuss now, when there's a mitzvah to do bris mila on Yom Shmini, that's Deicha Shabbos. But if, however, the mother was not tomei leida, there's no mitzvah of Yom Shmini, you have no right to be mechalal Shabbos for the purposes of mila when there's no mitzvah of mila today. Chazon Ish writes, this is his role of Pharisee, and people don't know this halacha.
But in a C-section in Ritzias, the woman has he done.
And look, that's not necessarily Tommy Leder, though. It's not necessarily Tommy Leder.
What about Abraham Magin, when he's married to Moses' son on the 8th day?
Enochami, so we discussed in Shir once, we don't do bris milah on the 8th day because of what Avraham Avinu did. So Rambam, Pirish, Mishnayis, and Chulin. We'll see. So Al Kaponim, that's what the Torah tells us in Parshas Tazria, the 7 days of Tumah, following which you have a Yom Shmini, Yimoel Besar, or Losei. So the Gemara in Shabbos, as has been mentioned already, a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph on the base, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes on the base, derives from over here that there is a chiyuv, a mitzvah, a heter, to do mila even on Shabbos. The Gemara in number 3 on the sheets, Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph on the base in Shabbos says, mila v'chol machshireho. to perform the actual mila and anything necessary to perform the mila, doichenes haShabbos, which, by the way, we don't hold of that halacha. The halacha, we only hold that the mila itself is doichen haShabbos, but all the preparatory work, if you, for example, imagine there's a bris to be done, let's say not in this country, in a country where there's no Eruv, and suddenly you realize you don't have a knife in Golders Green without getting political, and suddenly you realize that you don't have a mila knife in the house where the child is situated, and the only way to get hold of one is to be over an issa of hoitzah. So Rabbi Eliezer says it doesn't matter, you can be mechalal Shabbos for that as well. Not only the mila, but even whatever you need to do as the hechsher for that mitzvah. We don't paskin like that. We don't paskin like that. You can only perform, you can only be mechalal Shabbos in the performance of the actual mila, not in the preparation work for the mila.
So
yeah.
I say the moment forgot the knife and there's no arrow, the mila is cancelled?
So, strictly speaking, yes. It might be heterim, for example, again, without getting political, but in many places, these streets are not really a Rosh Harabim Do'iraisa. It's only a Drabonon. In which case, you'd be allowed to ask a Goy to bring the knife. Because it's a Shvus. It's a Shvus, the Mokeh Mitzvah. Don't want to get involved in that. But, yeah, that could be.
Can I ask a question a little bit? Half step back. Let's assume that this Halacha, which Chazanish publicized, people didn't know. And guess what? Mila was performed, Shabbos.
Oh, very good, Shabbos.
Right now. Did we have Mila or not?
Very good. So I was actually thinking of giving a shiur on that this morning. There's a big shaila. There's a big shaila. If somebody did do Mila on Shabbos, Be'issa. Either in this case of the Chazanish, where the mother, for example, is not Tomei Leido, or even a simpler case. A simpler case. Every child, you passed 8 days. For whatever reason, you didn't do Mila B'yom Shemini. Either the child was sick, or you forgot, or you could, whatever reason. And now it's come to Shabbos, post Yom Shemini. You have no right to do Mila on Shabbos. Somebody did do Mila on Shabbos.
Still Mila.
So do you say it's still Mila?
Do you have to do Hatafas Dam?
Or do you have to do Hatafas Dam Bris? Now,
if you shake stolen lulav, shake it.
Very good. So
nothing.
What's the reason why?
All day.
So what's the reason why? Now listen to this. Not only mitzvah avir, that's one nidim. One nidim is like when you shake a lulav that's stolen, you're not yaitzah. Because what are you going to tell me? Well, you still shook lulav, but it's a mitzvah habor ba'avir. And it's therefore not yaitzah the mitzvah. Actually, machlekes, but if you hold the mitzvah of avir, you're not yaitzah. So that's one reason why you shouldn't be yaitzah. There's another reason, which again, I'm not passing the halacha, but that's why there's a discussion. But there's another reason, which is a ge'onus. Another reason is, if really doing mila on Shabbos is chilul Shabbos, it's all shaila which malacha it is, taking out dam from the child, but it's a chilul Shabbos, no questions asked, it's a do'iraisa. If you're allowed to do mila on Shabbos, then you're allowed to do it. So it's not chilul Shabbos, the contrary, it's a mitzvah. If you're not allowed to do Mila on Shabbos, then not only is it not a mitzvah, it's an avera. You're mechalal Shabbos. So the Michas Chinuch raises the point and he says, well, if that's the case, the Mishnah tells us, imagine somebody would shecht an animal on Shabbos be'issa, deliberately. When he starts shechting and starts drawing out dam, he's mechalal Shabbos. And if he's mechalal Shabbos, he's considered, if he does it, amazing, a mumma lechilul Shabbosis. And a mumma lechilul Shabbosis with regard to some halachas have the din of a goy. And a goy can't shecht, and a goy can't do bris mila. So when he started doing this bris mila, inasmuch as there's no mitzvah to do mila today, it turns out that the beginning of the mila was in fact a chilul Shabbos. If he does it b'meizid, he's a mumma lechilul Shabbos. And therefore, with regard to Shabbos, at least he has some halachas of a goy, and a goy can't perform mila. But that's another shaila, why the Minchas Chinuch raises, does that mean if somebody did Mila on Shabbos when he wasn't allowed to?
Amazing.
Number one, it's mitzvah of Aveira. Number two, he's a chilul Shabbos. Number three, there's a whole separate issue which Emes Hashem will discuss once. Eovid loy mahani.
You can eat it?
Eovid loy mahani, which is a whole separate discussion.
The sofa is that it's not a village.
No, that's his whole shaila. That's his whole shaila. Maybe it is a Mila.
So this is the Mezid. What's Beshogeg?
Oh, that's the whole discussion. Do you become a Mumma? Can you become a Mumma if you're Mechala Shabbos Beshogeg? It's a Suga in Chulin Daf Yudalad Omadalad Halacha L'maisa. Try and avoid the Yisra. I call upon him.
It's a piece of medication which Machlokas, maybe you'll die from it. You said, no Machlokas, I'm not taking it.
Now, just to, again, this wasn't our subject today, but only because Remichael pointed it out. Really, when you think about it, it's
like a circle.
Yeah, that's all Minchas Chinuch's goyness. Minchas Chinuch says, hang on one second. The Gemara says that if you do Mila on Shabbos, so the Gemara says, oh, it's a day raisa, but the Torah says it's mutter. Okay, the Torah told me it's mutter. Says the Gemara, what would be without the Torah? Imagine the Torah wouldn't give me a hetzah, so what would you tell me? Chilul Shabbos, Isav Deiraisa, and that's why I need a posuk to be matrit. Says the Gemara, it's not true. Which Chilul Shabbos is he doing? He's been moitzi dam from the child. That has no constructive benefits. That's a malacha she'ein tzri chilaguf. What do I need the blood for? In which case, it's not Chilul Shabbos.
Right.
So, but why do I need a posuk to tell me that you're allowed to do this? It's anyway Minatir and not Chilul Shabbos. Enochem is a big discussion, correct. Says the Gemara, no. That's considered a constructive purpose because the mitzvah of Mila, that's considered a constructive purpose. In as much as you're doing Mila on the wrong day, so it's not a bris Mila. If it's not a bris Mila, then it's not a constructive purpose. If it's not a constructive purpose, then it's not a Chilul Shabbos. If you don't become a Mumma, the Chilul Shabbos. That's a Minchas Chinuch, has a whole mind blowing goyness, which maybe we'll leave for another discussion. I'll call upon him. That's what the Gemara says. So again, number three, Mila v'chol machshireho doichenes haShabbos divrei Rabbi Elazar. Mino leil Rabbi Elazar. How does he know that? Elohainu tamed Rabbi Elazar. The omakro ubayoyim hashmini gimoil basara losoi. He derives it from our pasuk gimoil basara losoi v'afilu b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos you can do Mila. The Gemara in Sanhedrin expounds, and we'll come back to this because Rav Moshe made a whole chiddush lahalacha based on this. Number four on the sheets: V'hare Mila shenemro lebnei Noach. Somebody was just asking a minute ago that Bnei Noach also had, at least Avraham Avinu had the mitzvah of Mila. The Ksev already says in Pashas, Vayera va'ato es brisi tishmo. The Nishnis, and then the Torah repeated the whole mitzvah of Bris Mila because it says Ubayoyim Hashmini Yimoil. Li Yisrael Ne'amar V'loy L'Bnei Noach, says the Gemara. No, Ha-hu. Do you know why the Torah repeats it in our Sedra? For one reason and one reason only. L'Mishri Shabbos Huda'asa B'Yoyim Afilu B'Shabbos. The whole reason why the Torah felt it necessary to repeat Mitzvah's Mila in Pashas Tazria is to teach us this extra halacha which we didn't know, that you can do Mila even though it's on Shabbos, because Bayoyim Hashmini, it could have written, it sounds like in the Gemara, Ubashmini. Why does it say Bayoyim Hashmini? Fine, special drosha, special pasuk, the Torah went out of its way to teach me to do Bris Mila on Shabbos. Fine. All the Rishonim, and you'll remember this, we discussed this in Pashas Shoftim last year, all the Rishonim are bothered by the obvious kasha. It's all fine and well that the Torah allowed you to do it, but why did the Rabbonon not come along and say, we don't allow it? Just like Lulav and just like Shofar. Lulav, Chazal said that even though there's a mitzvah to shake Lulav today, but we're worried, Shema Yavirenu Daladamas, maybe you're going to transport your Lulav in the street, and therefore they said, no Lulav on Shabbos. No Shofar on Shabbos, no Megillah on Shabbos. Wherever there's a mitzvah, even if it's a mitzvah min HaTorah to do on Shabbos, Chazal have the koyach, yesh koyach lachachomim, lakor dovah min HaTorah, and they said, machmas the chashash, Shema Yavirena, which when you think about it, it's an unbelievable koyach. Hits me every year when Sukkos, we hold the mitzvah in HaTorah is only one day. Only the first day. And because of a far-fetched chashash, which in Ramat Bet Shemesh doesn't exist anyway because there's an Erev, Chazal mevatel the whole mitzvah, which means when the first day of Yom Tov is on Shabbos, there's no mitzvah deraisa of lulav at all. It's an unbelievable koyach, but that's their koyach.
But who deserves obvious answer? Because sometimes Chazal do it and some not. For example, when you need to fast on Yom Kippur, Chazal did not forbid it, even we not facing on Shabbos. So right now, Chazal said, breeze, it's like Yom Kippur facing. It's okay. So important, we're not touching it.
So the Taz is going to give a gather.
What you're saying... Thing that the caring is that you might take to a chokham. Here, the Milan Nath is by the chokham, so there's no... Everybody's got their own lulav.
But maybe you'll carry the child.
Right.
Maybe they'll carry the child.
You know, Pasuk saying,
oh, that's going to be the Taz's territory. 100%. Right. But this is the kash of all the Rishonim. So some say, like what Michael's saying, that we know that Mila, Gedoyla, Mila, Shenichrusu, Aleha, Yud Gimel, Brisois, it's such a chash of a mitzvah, it's Chayvei Krisus, with a mitzvah like that, they didn't want to interfere. Now you're going to say, well, why this year and that not? Fine, that was up to Chazal, Perev Chachmasam, they decided that Lulav and Shofar, we Chas V'Shalom wouldn't be allowed in a million years to decide such a thing. But they said, Lulav and Shofar, as it were, if we're allowed to call it that, are a lesser mitzvah than Bris Mila, which is Chayvei Krisus, and for that they said, Mila we're not touching. That's what some Rishonim suggest. The Ran in Rosh Hashanah gives a very interesting teretz. If you look at number 9 on the sheets, he says a very practical answer, a purely practical answer. Top left hand corner, V'im Toima. Maishno Hani, why is it with regard to all of these, Lulav and Shofar, de Gozrinon? Chazal made a gzera, don't do the mitzvah lest you carry. Umaishno mila de sharia b'shabbos. Why is it that mila is muta? V'loi gozrinon shema yavir tinoik oy izmal. And there we don't have a concern that maybe you'll carry the child or the knife. Daladamas b'shus harabim. Yesh loima says they're on a very simple teretz. The honey, with regard to all other mitzvahs like lulav and shofar, shani, that's different. Lefisha hakoil trudin bohen. Everybody, every member of Klal Yisrael is involved in the same mitzvah. V'loy midker chada chavreda. For nobody will remind anybody else. Be careful not to carry because they're all busy doing the same mitzvah themselves. Masha inkein b'mila, where this fellow is doing mila, but anybody else is not performing mila. So if he sees him carrying a child in the streets, be careful. A chiddush of the run. Finish them if I'm carrying my lulav in the street. Everybody notices my lulav, they're doing the same thing themselves. But with regard to Mila, that's my mitzvah, nobody else is doing Mila.
Actually, what Ran saying, the Jewish people like give and solicit advice so much that they stop it only when they're busy.
Anyway.
When they're busy, they don't give and solicit advice. But here they have plenty of time, they will give and solicit advice to be paid.
Should we say similar for Shofar?
For sure.
Shofar is. Usually there's one
chauffeur. Yeah, it's true, but everybody's involved in the mitzvah. Everybody's involved in the mitzvah. Yeah, chiddush of the Ran, a maskim, 100%.
But even on Mila, the others are involved in the mitzvah. And
there's nothing to do with them, though. They're not bachiva, they're not mochiv in my mitzvah. It's true, the Gemara does say, if a father doesn't do it, then Klal Yisrael have to get involved. Okay, it's a chiddush, it's a tremendous chiddush of the Ran.
No, but if they're not gazrina, that means they're not worried that someone's going to do Mila on 8th day.
No, they say.
Don't
no, they'll say people will do Mila on 8th day, but if you're worried that somebody will carry a child, everybody there will be shouting, Shabbos, Shabbos!
So
people
if they don't have the Shabbos, they're allowed to carry.
Yeah, but Chazal, no, only the Mila is Deicha Shabbos, not the carrying of the child.
I'm not sure, okay, that's
Ramaleza, we don't pass like that. No. We don't pass like that. You can't carry the child with a Mila knife. Fine. Comes along the Taz, this is what you mentioned before, and the truth is, Taz gets credit for this. It's a bit like the Beis Yosef's kasha on Hanukkah. Everybody asks the Beis Yosef's kasha, the Beis Yosef's kasha. All the Rishonim ask the Beis Yosef's kasha. Tosfos the Rosh asks it, the Meiri asks it, but the Beis Yosef got the credit. The Taz says a big chiddush over here, a very famous principle, and the truth is the Rishonim say it already. What's his principle? Says the Taz, a chiddush in the koyach of Chazal. It's true that Chazal have the right to be oikra mitzvah. But that's not when the Torah goes out of its way, or when the Torah writes something explicitly that it's mutter, then Chazal can't usher it. With regard, for example, to Shofar, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, blow Shofar on Shabbos. What does it say? Blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So we all work out for ourselves, well, no good reason to think that Shabbos should be different, so we're going to blow on Shabbos as well. There Chazal can say, sorry, we're not allowing it, we've got our chashashos. But when there's a mitzvah that's written absolutely mefurish in the Torah, you must do this on Shabbos, then Chazal can't come along and give a gzeira against what's written explicitly in the Torah letter.
8 days in Rosh Hashanah not different,
because Rosh Hashanah also in certain day.
What special?
No, no, we'll get to Mila. We'll get to Bris Mila in a second. One second.
Rosh Hashanah, it's also
said that's what they learned out of that extra word.
So 1 second. That's the Taz's famous principle. If you look at number 10 on the sheet, the Meiri got in there first by a good few hundred years. Megillah Daf Dala Domadala. Vayesh Mataritzim, says the Meiri. Shelulav Vashefa Umegillah Lo Neemar Aleihem Befeirush Shiunasim Veshabbos. It's not written anywhere explicitly that they should be done on Shabbos. Elo shehutshu min adin. It's just obviously muta mitzat she'ein on melacha, because there's nothing wrong in doing them. V'achash yesh ben chashash melacha. Once Chazal realized there is a possibility, people, the over averos, din hu sheyidchu shelo yavoy l'dei es ha-teiro. Says the Meiri, avol mila lehedya hutra b'shabbos. Midiksev uba yoyim ashmini yimoil v'loy hechmiru b'kulo haksuba lehedya. Where something is written mafurish in the psukim, Chazal can't aser it.
And even that's really a drosha, it's not really mafurish.
We're going to get to that. The Taz number 12 on the sheets, if you look at the end of that paragraph, says exactly the same. Tahatoira ribso b'feirush uba yoyim ashmini afilu b'shabbos loy rotsu lakoid v'atoira b'feirush mishum gzeya. Okay.
It's a little rough to what means they could if they
wanted. Diuk niflo. The Taz does not say that they can't. The Taz says lo yirotsu. In two other places, in Chayush Mishpat and in Yeridea, which we did not print on the sheet, he says in b'koyach chazal. So it sounds like a steer in the Taz.
I mean, even the Yeri's a bit like that lashon. It says lo hachmiru.
V'lo hachmiru. It doesn't sound like they can't, and they chose not to.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. Maybe we'll get to that today. If not, I'll tell you afterwards how I understood the distinction between the two Taz. That's the principle, the very famous principle of the Taz. And as you can imagine, a principle like this, there are hundreds of riots for the Taz, hundreds of riots against the Taz. The honest truth is, it's probably an enormous machlokus rishonim. But before we move any further, at first glance, and this is what we'll try and answer, it sounds like the Taz are saying a very beautiful teretz, but it's deloika kolar rishonim. All the rishonim asked the Taz's kasha. Why did Chazal not ban Mila? And they didn't give the Taz's teretz. They said because Mila is very chomor, and because the Ran people will remind him, etc., etc. They didn't give the Taz's reason. So it sounds like, at face value, the Taz's chiddush is a chiddush, but it's negative kolar rishonim. We'll see, Mitz Hashem, there's a way of being miyashiv, I think, the Rishonim with the Taz, to explain there isn't this Veltz Machlekas going on. However, there is a Mefurish of Gemara, at least the way Rabbi Kveiga understood it, and Rabbi Kveiga himself is Mitzayin the Taz. If you look in the Gemara, Psochim Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, number 5 on the sheets, the Gemara says, V'hari Shrotzim, D'rachmona Sheket Zur Lo Yeochil. The Torah says, don't eat shrotzim. We know it from last week's Sedra. The Tanan, Tzayodei chaya v'oifas v'dogim, shenizdamnu lohen minim t'meim. Imagine, you put your net in the sea, and accidentally, nizdamnu loya, happens to be you caught some non-kosher species, muta lemoichron lenochrim, you're allowed to sell them to goyim. This is what the Gemara says. Even though you're not allowed to eat them yourselves, but if you happen to catch them, then you're allowed to sell them. Says the Gemara, do you know why that's the case? Shani hosom, the omakro lochem, shalochem yehe. Because the Torah says quite clearly that even though you're not allowed to eat them, but shalochem yehe, you're allowed to have hano, you're allowed to benefit from them. That's what the Gemara says. It's not so poshut, because that's what the Gemara is discussing. There are two or three daf One of the Amoraim in the Gemara says, whatever the Torah says don't eat, it means also don't benefit. Says the Gemara, fine, but here's an exception because it says, Shalachem Yehe, you may have benefit. Says the Gemara, very strange kasha.
It's a very, very strange answer to this. How Gemara can say, if you cannot eat, you cannot benefit from it?
Revolves principle.
We're riding horses all the time.
Revol says, Kol Mokim. Shenema loy seichel, v'loy issa achila v'issa hanor b'mashma. Oh, so you have to know. How can you have hanor from a behemoth tmeh? You're right. So the Gemara, that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying shalachem yeye. That's the answer to your question. But the Torah is saying mafurish, you're allowed to have hanor from a min tmeh. We'll see the other isuri achila, which you're not allowed to have hanor from. Fine. Says the Gemara, a very odd question now. Ihochi. If it's true that the Torah says shalachem yehe, you're allowed to have benefit, then even lechatchila I should be allowed to go in the first instance and go and catch non-kosher animals and sell them. And yet the Gemara sounded like that if you happen to catch a non-kosher animal, then you're allowed to sell it b'di'evet. Why is it only b'di'evet? The Torah says you can have hanah. That's the Gemara's kasha. Says the Rishayim there, it's a very strange kasha. Yes, the Torah allows you to have benefit, but maybe Chazal said, l'chatchila don't have benefit. So that's why it's only mutter b'di'evit. Says Rabbi Kivega, according to the Taz, the Gemara is haflav afale. Because once the Torah went out of its way to say, shalachem yeyeh, mefurash in the pasuk that you may have benefit, now Chazal can't come and answer that. It can't be that it's osa l'chatchila midrabanan, because the Torah said explicitly that it's mutter to have hanah. That's the Gemara's question. Once you tell me that the Torah has sanctioned this l'chatchila and explicitly, then it can't be that the Chazal asked it. That's one Gemara. We know the famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, of ayin on the base. Are you allowed to lend ribis to a goy? Are you allowed to lend with interest to the goy? The answer is absolutely yes, min haTorah. In fact, according to the Rambam, not only are you allowed to, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to lend ribis to a goy. And yet, if you look in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Gemara says that Chazal outlawed it. Chazal said, don't lend with ribis to a goy. We're worried if you lend with ribis to a goy, you'll end up getting friendly with them, and you'll do other business with them, and who knows what that could lead to. So everybody asks on the Taz, the Chavaz Yoya asks on the Taz, and the Furusha Gemara, the Torah says explicitly you're allowed to lend the goy with ribis. So how can Chazal asa? You see a Gemara not like the Taz. The truth is, truth of the matter is, so the truth is, Tosfos himself explains that's exactly what the Gemara means to ask there. If you look at number 7 on the sheets, but I want to tell you a Chassam Sefer, and the Chassam Sefer makes a very, very important distinction over here, and he says there is a clear division to be made. It's true, he says, the Taz tells us that if the Torah writes something explicitly that it's mutter, then Chazal can't answer it. Fine, it's true. He says, they only can't answer it if they're protecting the Issa that the Torah was talking about. So for example, the Torah says, you can lend a goy ribis. That means the Torah is very clever. The Torah knows that if you lend a goy with ribis, you're going to get used to lending ribis. And Chazal, Torah said it's still okay. So then Chazal can't come along and say, for example, the Torah allows you to lend with ribis, but we don't allow it because we're worried that if you lend the goy with ribis, you're going to start lending the Yisrael with ribis as well. That Chazal can't do because the Torah is talking about ribis. Within the framework of ribis, the Torah says, you can lend the goy ribis, nothing will happen. You won't come and lend the Yisrael ribis, at least we're not concerned that it will happen. So then Chazal can't come and answer it. But if Chazal come along and they say, as far as ribis is concerned, we're fine. We just don't want you to lend the goy with ribis because then you'll become friendly with them, and that will lead to different Yisurim outside the framework of ribis, then that's not called going keneged the Torah.
Chazal can't not be more worried than the Torah.
100%, very well put. They can't be more concerned with the Torah. The Torah is talking about ribis. The Torah says, you can go and lend a goy ribis. I mean, the Torah knows full well that if you lend a goy ribis, then in 5 minutes' time you might lend the Yisrael ribis. And the Torah said it's okay. So Chazal can't ask for that. But if Chazal says, sure, we're not trying to protect Hilchos ribis. We just don't want you to befriend goyim. Why? Because that will lead to other aveiras. You'll mix up with goyim, and there'll be other isurim concerned. Then they can answer it. That's not called going against what the Torah asks.
So they never be left private, like pas nachtu, pas palta, and things like that.
And the
it's a public place, then wherever you go.
But it seems like this explanation goes against the main definition of Gazer of Rabban. How they said, what definition? Build fence around the law. Not around something else, but about this law.
Oh, you're right.
So it's against main principles.
So according to the Taz,
that's exactly what they're doing.
According to the Taz, we protect this law when the Torah didn't say explicitly it's mutter. See, the Torah is below Shafer, so we've got to protect everything we can. The Torah said mafurish that something's mutter, then we can't protect it. Then you're right. Then Chazal had to look elsewhere. But are we worried that maybe some other issue will be contravened? Chassam Sofer says that with this he answered the world famous kasha. What's the world famous kasha? We know that Rabbeinu Gershom came along and says you can't marry two wives. And it's a Chazal which is kept along amongst most circles in Klal Yisrael, Ada Yom Hazeh, don't marry two wives. Everybody asks, on the Rabbeinu Gershom, how could he do that? The Torah in Pashas Kiseitzeh says, Kisiyeno le'ish shtei noshim. A man will marry two wives. One of them he'll love, one of them he'll hate, the whole story. The Torah speaks specifically about marrying two wives. So how could Rabbeinu Gershom come along and ask her to marry two wives when the Torah says Mafurish et Mutter?
So he didn't say it's a chiyuv.
Or a mitzvah.
Or mitzvah. So he said you can.
But Chazal has the right to give you a present too. They have right to give you a present. So what you need from them, you need to say thank you,
Chazal. I won't tell your wife you said that. Now, the truth is, you're right. The Torah doesn't say that it's a mitzvah. The Torah doesn't say it's mutter. The Torah said that's what you did. If you think about it, also, we're not learning Pashas Kiseitzeh now, but if you think about it, it's not nuchach in the psukim there that he was married to them simultaneously. Maybe it's talking about he married one, had a child, divorced her, finished, gone, or she died. Now he married a second wife and had a different child. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah they were married to them simultaneously.
So they hope maybe she died. Okay, good.
But I'll call upon him, the Chassam Sefer says, according to his vote, the whole kash is a non-starter anyway. Because if the Torah sanctions getting married to two wives, then it's true. You can't usher it. Even if it's considered explicit in the Torah, you can't usher it with regard to marital reasons. The Torah said mafurish that it's okay to have relations with two women. So Chazal can't come along and say, well, we think that having relations with two women is not a healthy thing. The Torah said mafurish, it's okay. If Rabbeinu Gershom said that, no, nothing to do with what the Torah was talking about. I want to protect other issues completely. I think that if somebody marries two women, this can happen and that can happen, something else. We're not talking about what the Torah was addressing. That's not considered going keneged the Torah. A chiddush of the Chassam Sofer.
Is that the same idea as writing a prosbo? That was because I was worried that the opinion of Shemitah would have secondary effects concerning
this. Okay, again, but that's
like another reason.
I hear what you're saying. So it seems to me we have riyas to the Taz, we have riyas someone to suggest against the Taz. If you look in the Ritzvah number 8 on the sheets, he seems to be saying absolutely not like the Taz. He says, Dohaika kamomili shatayra hitira. Michael, this is word for word what you were saying. He said there's many things that the Torah was matir. And Chazal came along and put a fence around the Torah. He's coming to argue with Tosis. It seems to be a Veltz Machlekes. However, Ma'anase, I tried to collect as many as I can. I think I found 10 or 11 or 12. There are many, 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 many places where we find Mamish Mufurish that we have a drasha to say one thing's mutter, and Chazal asked it. Countless examples. For example, something we discussed just 3 or 4 weeks ago, Maisa Shabbos. Maisa Shabbos, if you cook an item on Shabbos, the Gemara dashens ki kodesh ilochem, Shabbos is kodesh, but what you cook on Shabbos, minatira, is no problem you're allowed to eat it. And Chazal said you can't eat it. How can it be? Here we have a posuk in the Torah, we're making a drosha that's telling us that you can eat it, and Chazal say, no, you can't. One case. Another case is every isha who becomes tomei. So we know minat Torah, she's only tomei nida if she has a hargosha and she sees a ri'iyah dam. And yet Chazal, and we have a posuk, dam yeh, zoi b'psora, dam v'loi kesem. And we know Chazal said, if she sees a kesem, she does become tomei. Even though we have a drosha, tell us the contrary. You're allowed to wear tzitzis that have kilayim in them. How do we know that? Because there's a juxtaposition between the posuk of shatnas and the posuk of tzitzis. So because they're written next to each other, we know you're allowed to wear kilayim in your tzitzis. And yet Chazal said, don't do it. We see countless examples again and again and again where Chazal seems to have uttered even examples which the Torah has written specifically a drosha to be matir. So there's a tshuva in the Igros Moshe, number 13 on the sheets, where somebody wrote to him and he says, I don't understand the whole principle of the Taz, because the Taz is negative mission. We've been trying to work out whether it fits in with the Rishonim, fits in with the Gemaras. Somebody asked Rav Moshe, the Taz is negative Mishnah. Why is it negative Mishnah? Because we know that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, there would be Mekadosh the Chodesh with Edom. Edom would come along, sanctify the new moon. The Gemara says, as a drosha, we learn from a pasuk, B'moy Adam. They have to come in the right time. Says the Gemara, B'moy Adam, even B'Shabbos. They can even be Mechal Shabbos to come and make access, make their way to the Beis HaMikdash to give their testimony. And yet the Mishnah says, even though there's a drosha, we don't allow it in all months, only on certain months. For Nisan, and for Tishri, when there's most important months of the Yomim Tovim, then we'll allow them to be Mechal Shabbos. But under other circumstances, we don't allow Edim to be Mechal or Shabbos to come to the Beis HaMikdash. It's a Mefurish Mishnah. This Talmud Chacham wrote to Rav Moshe, Mefurish Mishnah, that even though there's a drasha saying you're allowed to be Mechal or Shabbos, Chazal said, no, 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 we don't allow it. How can they do such a thing? It's against the Torah.
It was only partial. At least it was only partial, like some months.
Oh! So the truth is, the Chassam Sofer says your teres with regard to something else, with regard to ribis, in fact, that it's only considered going negative teres when you uproot the whole mitzvah. But if you leave it in place with regard to some aspects, that's not called uprooting, that for some months they did allow, he says it with regard to ribis, because even though Chazal said you can't lend a goy by ribis, it says that if you need it for your parnosa, it's mutter. A Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says it's mutter. So because they left some cases that they didn't tamper with the Torah, that's called not going kenegad the Torah. Says Rav Moshe, Igros Moshe, Oyer Chaim, Chelik Aleph, Sem, Kuf, Lamed, Dalet, number 13 on the sheets. Hinei, Hanocha, Nefiyon, Yes, Daiti, says Rav Moshe. He says, as far as I'm concerned, the Vadai Kavonosa, it said it's posher. Do you know what the Taz means? Hurak Aldova Hamafurush Batoira. Loy al mashe doirshin miribui. There's a difference between what's written explicitly, and there's a difference between what's written as a drosha.
Ribis is also a drosha.
Ribis is mafurish. Lenochri sashif. Can't get clearer than that. That's why there's a whole discussion. So he says, "Kedmotzinu harba dvarim sheosru mashe mutam anatei." We know loads of things Chazal asked, even though it's mafurish and atei it's muta. Afsheheim midrashes hakroi, because they're not written black and white in the psukim. It's a drosha. So what about bris milah? So what about bris milah? Where does it say in the Torah you shall do bris milah on Shabbos? It doesn't say those words. It's also a drosha. Says Rav Moshe, no, that's called explicit. Why is that called explicit? That's the Gemara we started off with. There is no reason for the whole of mitzvah's milah to be written in Tazria. It's told to us in Pashas Lech Lecha and Pashas Vayera. Here that's called explicit. If the Torah went out of its way to write the whole mitzvah for one reason and one reason only, and that is to teach us that you may do Mila on Shabbos, that's called explicit. That's not called hinted to or remez or drasha, that's called mafurish.
But right now it's an obvious question. All dvarim, repeating everything what was written before. It means all explicit?
So all of the drashas in.
No. The Maariv repeats
any mitzvah which is repeated.
Right.
So you have to know, and each one is chidushim
explicit.
You're 100% each one chidushim is learned. But Moshe says if the Torah went out of its way, that's called explicit. I think I've mentioned before the story. They say it happened in England. I don't know if it's true, but the lights went out in yeshiva on the Shabbos once. So they didn't know what to do. They couldn't learn in yeshiva, so they asked Rosh Hashiva, what should they do? So he thought about it. He says, okay, under the circumstances, you can ask a guy to turn on the light. It's mutter, shvus, mitzvah, whatever. He says, but how? No, you've got to be careful. Like, say beremez, he says. Say beremez.
Hint.
Say God is a hint. If you say explicitly, then you say beremez, fine. So they said to Rosh Hashiva, you know what? We're worried if we say the wrong words, maybe that's cool. You say it, fine. You do it. You know what's called a remez, what's called mufurash, fine. So he calls over the janitor, the caretaker there, who's an ignoramus, uncultured, uneducated, illiterate fellow. And he calls him and says, hey, Billy, come here.
He was a non-Jew.
A non-Jew. He says, Billy, please turn on the lights. all the Talmidim are watching. Turns on the light, he goes... He went up to Rosh Hashiva and said, you said we're not allowed to say Mufurish, you have to say Beremez. He said, yeah, for Billy, that's a Remez. Yeah. I'll call upon him. Ramosha says that when the Torah went out of its way to write this whole mitzvah in repetition to teach us this halacha, that's called explicit. Says Ramosha at the end of that paragraph, So Ramesh has told us a chidush godl otzum v'neira, that when the Taz says you can't go explicitly against what the Torah was matter, that's only when it's written explicitly, but not by processes of a drosha. Mila is different. He says that's considered explicit because the whole thing is superfluous and it's only there to teach us this one halacha that you can do Mila on Shabbos. Chazal couldn't interfere with that. Ad kan divrei Ramesha. And according to Ramesha, obviously all our kashas before are all answered about kilayim betzitzis and dam v'loy kesem and maisa Shabbos. None of those are mufurish in the Torah. They're all drushas. If they're drushas, then Chazal can asser as well. What do I want to finish off with? In light of Ramosha, I think we can now make shalom almost completely between all the Rishonim and the Taz. All the Rishonim asked the Taz's kasha. Why did Chazal not ask a mila on Shabbos? None of them thought of the Taz's teretz. None of them gave the Taz's teretz. What did the Ram say? Because everybody will remind him. And others say because of Gedoyla Mila, it's correct. Nobody thought of the Taz's teretz. So the Taz says, no, Mila is Mefurash, Vatera, and Chazal can't ask it. Very nice, all the Rishonim argue. It could be according to Rav Moshe. Of course they agree in principle to the Taz. Of course there's a Machlaikas. But the Machlaikas is much, much, much smaller than we think. It could be all of the Rishonim, the Ran and the Meiri and the Tosas and the Rashba and the Ritva. Everybody agrees to the Taz's principle that you can't argue what's called it and what's explicitly Mutan the Torah. They just held, not like this Chiddush of the Taz, which Rav Moshe explains. They say, Mila, at the end of the day, is a drasha. That's not called Mefurash in the Torah.
It's not make narrow, it's much more wider. Why? Because try measure with your Chazal right now, and you need to make this gazer. You understand what kind of task you're having right now? Right now it's task. If it's explicit, you can't.
What is it called, the drasha?
But if the, yeah, it's huge, it is not narrow.
So I'm moving the goalposts. I'm saying that this principle of the Taz, that's not the machlekas bein Rishonim. It's true, it could be, but if you argue on a remission, and you're quite right, this has big ramifications, yeah, and now we have to define, well, what's called a drasha and what's called explicit. But it's Rav Moshe's chiddush b'das ha-Taz to say that because the Torah repeated this whole mitzvah, that's called explicit. It could be it was that nakuda that the Rishonim didn't like, right, and they say at the end of the day, Mila's called the drasha, it's not called explicit. That's why they weren't happy to go with the Taz. But it could well be then in essence, of course, they agree the Yisoy to the principle of the Taz. There's something that really would be written explicitly in the Torah, like ribbis or having hanah from non-kosher animals. That you'd be allowed. That Chazal would say, sorry, we can't make a drasha because that really is explicit in the Torah. So it could be therefore we can be yashiv. Thank you very much. Therefore, it could be that's why the Rishonim didn't like the Taz, not because they're chaylik on him. Be yisoid, they just don't like the definition of what's called mafurish. So besikum, we said that we learned from this week's sedra in two gemaras that you do mila b'shabbos, and it's based on this week's sedra. Mila b'zmanoi can be performed on Shabbos. Why were Chazal not concerned that you might carry dalad amos b'shus harabim like lulav and shayfa? So some Rishonim said because kares is a more chomor mitzvah. The Ram says because there's other reasons, everybody there to remind him. But the Taz says no, that's not the reason. The Taz says because Chazal can't ask what's mafurish in the Torah. There seems to be rise from Gemaras, from Mishnayos, maybe from Rishonim backwards and forwards. Rav Moshe's mechadish, but that's a Taz, that even the Taz is only talking about something which is explicit in the pasuk, but not that which is derived from a drasha. And Rav Moshe went that extra stage to tell us, yes, Mila is considered explicit. Even though it doesn't say the words, you shall do Mila on Shabbos, but by virtue of the fact that the whole parsha is repeated just to teach you the halacha, that's called Mefurash, and that's why the Taz says you can't go Kenegah the Torah. But everywhere else it's a drasha, that Chazal can go against.
The Taz says lo ratzu lakom.
Yeah, enachnami. In which case we're suggesting that maybe the Rishonim who didn't like the teretz of the Taz is not because they disagree with him in principle, it's just that they didn't like the definition of what's called explicit. They say that we're with Ramesha. There's a chilek to be made between what's mafurish and what's a drasha. At the end of the day, this is a drasha.
Drasha, what our schedule?
Oh, so our schedule is next Friday, there'll be no shemitz Hashem.